Question four. So you have this big vision, this big dream, something that you want to build, some harmony that you want to bring into your life. NLP people would be spotting my skilled use of language there. What I'm looking for next is the barriers that are standing in your way. When I have an initial telephone call with people that are interested in being coached, I'll ask them, what have you tried before? You know, what are the barriers that you see cropping up to this? Have you tried bringing about this change before, and what were the barriers? Because that really is the nub of getting change done, is the barriers that we arrive at. But barriers are all sorts of different things. I haven't left a great deal of space there, just between the paragraph and where I've says it, I shouldn't. But if you know in your gut what the biggest barrier is to bringing about this big, wonderful, groovy change in your life, do make notes. Do make a little note there. What's the biggest obstacle? What is stopping you from having this right now? What is it that's stopping you from having this right now? Or during the journey, what might the difficulties be? I'm assuming that what you've got written down for number two is the most exciting thing ever, ever, ever. But it's always been a little bit difficult to bring about. The sort of questions I ask people normally for what they put in number two is, if success was guaranteed, what would you do? Or, for some people, if you won the big one, what would you do? But you're all good people, so therefore nobody's ever touched a lottery ticket. But you've all got premium bonds, I know. Whether or not you know you've got a barrier to something is quite interesting in your use of language. The word shouldn't. I shouldn't be doing that. Do you find yourself using the word shouldn't? This talks about you having an internal conflict. The word shouldn't is a part of your brain which never came from you. It's actually part of maybe your parents or your conditioning. I shouldn't really do that. It's not actually you. It's not what your gut says. It's what a different part of you that edits something. So there's often barriers in our language use that can be explored. So if you find yourself, how do you normally finish that sentence, I shouldn't do such and such? Because what that sentence means is that I really want to do such and such, but there's a part of me that says I shouldn't. But that part of you hasn't come from you, it's come from outside of you. But it's a bit of a conflict to untie there. Another one that I really love is it statements. Maybe I'm having some kind of trying to persuade somebody to do something, and they say, it's just too difficult. Have you heard that before when you talk to somebody? It's too difficult. I can't do it. It's just too difficult. What is the it? What is the it that is too difficult? We're such rational creatures, we don't actually tell the truth very often. We edit what it is that we say. An it is a brilliant edit for something that, were we to say what it really was, it would just sound ludicrous. It would just sound silly. So what is the it? Imagine somebody saying that to you. Can you imagine hearing that recently? It statements from people. It's a real problem for me. What is the it? Let's unpack that. And I'm too whatever is to do that. What are you to something? So you have this big dream, something that you've always wanted to do, but you're just too to do that. What is it? It could be for you, what is the it that you refer to as it, but you never actually say what it really is. If you're really vague, then I'll leave this. I'm quite an introverted person, as you can tell. I don't like being in front of crowds. I find it really uncomfortable. So if somebody was inviting me to a party, and they're asking for a rational reason as to why I won't go along to this party that I don't want to go to, it's just too difficult for me to go to the party. What is the it that's too difficult? I'm going to race on, because this actually isn't very important, but it's just I'm giving you loads and loads of theory and hoping you can put it into practice by applying it to your own stuff. But if some of it's useful, then that's groovy. Have you put in a I'm too something? Too old, too young, too fat, too thin, too blonde, too dark, too male, too female, too... Anybody got anything that I haven't mentioned that they feel like saying... Okay, so the opposite is to say not something enough. Are you too old, too young, too tall, too thin, too... Can you think of somebody else who did it? who was also older, younger, thinner, darker, blonder, more intelligent, less intelligent, you know, whatever the thing is that you're to. Because there usually is an example of somebody else who managed to do that. Believe me, it's that simple. It's actually working with modelling other people that have brought about these kind of things. Really, a lot of life coaching is helping people through change, is helping people through what's a difficult process of change. Are there any questions about four, about barriers? Do you know what I'm talking about, really, here? Shall I move on to five? Yeah, nods all round. Okay. When we bring about change, think of New Year's resolutions, giving up something, trying to change, bring about a change in your life. Maybe you lose your temper at other drivers. I always say the thing that I do wrong first. I don't know why I do that. I'm trying to think of examples, and I just think of the thing that I do. Yeah, all right. Okay. Irrationally losing my temper at other drivers. That could be one of your things. Smoking, eating, I don't know, whatever the thing is. Normally what we do, where I've drawn this little pyramid, is all we do is we work at this top level. Imagine that's you, this pyramid, and you work on your behaviour. You work at a behavioural level. You try to behave differently. Yeah? Some of you maybe have not ever tried to change anything ever in your life, so I'm getting no responses from you. But others of you who have tried to do this, have you tried using just your behaviour to bring about a change? And hands up if you've succeeded in bringing about a major change in your life simply by just changing your behaviour and not doing anything else. Have you found that successful? One person, damn. I'm giving you hints now. Nobody else put your hand up. That's the right answer. You've got to be very strong-willed to bring about successful change, but that's actually what we normally try and do. I mean, that's essentially what a diet is about. It's about just changing your behaviour. And changing your behaviour in a negative way. I don't like this, so I'll change my behaviour. And they're the two worst motivations to bring about change in your life. The next one down is your beliefs about something. Now, talking to people that are used to what the word belief means is sometimes difficult, so I'm going to explain what I mean by belief. I mean the structure of your conscious and even your unconscious that is what supports your behaviour. So when I'm crossing the roundabout, and it's very clear which lane you're supposed to be in to get across this roundabout, and somebody doesn't do that, and they cut in front of me or behind me or knock my wing mirror off, my behaviour changes just like that. But what did my behaviour do? It inquired very quickly about my rules as how to react in that situation. So another one that we've all got sets of rules of, if you get bumped into by somebody else, what do you say? Right. Okay, so you've inquired very, very quickly about a set of rules that you have. These aren't you, these are a set of rules that came in. All of your beliefs, attitudes, are not yours. They didn't come from you, they came from outside of you. I'm not talking about faith. Let's not get into that one. All of the rules that you have. Now, is it therefore possible to change? Because if your behaviour, if the thing that you're wanting to change on the surface is inquiring very quickly as to what that structure of beliefs is, well, let's not try and change the behaviour. Let's try and change the structure of beliefs. And then I thought it was nuts. I thought it was absolutely crazy when I first came across this, when I was training to be a life coach. And but like a somebody who wants to put into practice everything that I claim works for other people, I did this with smoking. I was a smoker for 14 years, and I lay in bed one day and thought, hold on a minute, what do I believe about smoking? And you can unpack what it is that you believe about stuff. Think of a problem. You can unpack what your beliefs are about that. And I decided to rewrite my beliefs. And I said, I am a non-smoker. And I have never, ever smoked since, and I've been a non-smoker since, so it's very possible. That doesn't include the full story, which is 2 years of being absolutely fed up to the back teeth of, you know, not liking the taste and all the rest of it. So think of a situation that, you maybe is a behavioural thing. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a way that you are with other people. Maybe it's something that you're really apprehensive about doing and you really wish you wouldn't. Think about something quite definable and see if you can write what the five beliefs are that you think support that behaviour. So my example of driving, it could be my journey is really important. Number two could be their journey isn't really important. You know, I can start to bring out from deep down what I think those supporting beliefs are. See if you can have a go. It could be in relation to what you've written in number two, or it could be completely different. But what I would do is this kind of work with what it is that you've written down for number four, really. Whatever it is that your barriers are about something. The language that I've given you for number four is a very good indication of what your beliefs and what your structures of attitudes are about something. So when you say "I shouldn't," that's a real clue as to what a supporting belief would be. How are you doing with this? Okay. If you can't think of anything, make it up. Again, you can think about a recent conflict or something that's angered you recently, but it led to some difficulty because there was somebody else who wanted or hoped that you'd behave in a different sort of way, perhaps. You can use this to kind of unpack one of those "it" statements. And this might sound crazy, but I'd like you to write down in the second set of 1 to 5. I didn't make that clear, did I? Use the first set. Use the second set of 1 to 5 to write down what your beliefs about that you would like them to be. Now, I guarantee that all of your beliefs have come from outside of you, so you can rewrite these. The interesting thing with this little theory is that the older people are, it's not a universal rule, but in my experience, the older people are, the more happy they are with the idea of changing their beliefs about something. That you're just kind of a little bit more okay about the idea that I'm not asking you to change the very core important person that you are, that you're set in stone, all these ways that you are, it's how I am, I can't change, that's it, I'm like that forever. That I've heard more from teenagers than I have from older people, interestingly. I did this with a group of, kind of young offenders in Bristol, asked them to write a list of what their beliefs were about other people that they bump into on the street or whatever, who they live with. And there was a list of beliefs about, you know, having to look after yourself and other people being essentially hostile or whatever. This is a really good one. You know, you can write down your five beliefs generally about other people. Are other people out to get you, or are other people generally helpful if you were to ask them for help? So if you're finding it difficult to come up with your list, that's a good one to ask. So I asked this group of young offenders this, you know, 10 beliefs you have generally about the other human being, maybe meeting a complete stranger. What are the ideas that you have about that? And then I simply ask the question, are any of those hindering you? Are any of those not actually helping your journey through life? I mean, you can look at your own list like that. Are any of the things that you've written down not helping you particularly? And what would you like to replace that with? I was met with absolute horror. That's impossible. You can't change. Interesting. Does anybody who works with teenagers, can you echo that at all? You're waving at me and I can't hear, but yeah, I'm getting a few nods, finding that strong beliefs about strong structures of ideas. I missed the bottom of the Toblerone, didn't I? This is what my whole session tomorrow is about. That yes, I do believe that at the surface we have behaviour. That behaviour is supported by a set of beliefs that we have, a set of structures that work so quickly, but that doesn't mean that they can't be changed. And if you can change those, you can change your behaviour. Underneath that, I think there is a core, there is a being, there is a, you might call it spirituality, you might call it the soul. You might also describe this being part of you is the part where you and what it is outside of you meet, for example. There's a part of you that has never been affected by what it is that might come from outside of you. There's a part of you that's never been hurt. There's a part of you that's never been damaged or whatever. And this part of you is also the part where love that has no opposite, I'm talking about real pure love, happiness, wisdom, true confidence, not kind of pretend mind over matter confidence, but real confidence, these are all things that happen in the present moment, that we experience in the present moment, and they're all parts of that deeper, deeper being part. The part that's underneath our thinker, it's the part that's underneath our emotions. But that's very much what tomorrow's session is going to be about. Okay. So, have I given you enough time to write things in? Shall I move on to question 6?